revere or reverse. Central Asia between Cyrillic and Latin alphabets. In April of this year, Kazakhstan's president, Nursultan Nazarbayev, said Kazakhstan intends to change from the Cyrillic to the Latin alphabet as part of a new step in the overall course of its post-Soviet development as an independent country. Kazakhstan, which like other Central Asian countries had adopted the Persian language and the Persian culture during the rule of the Iranian Samanid dynasty over a millennium ago, and then opted for Turkification following migration of waves of Turkic tribes, was Russianized during the 19th century as it fell under the sway of Moscow's imperialist rule. Now, over a quarter century after the collapse of the Soviet Union, it has become the third state in Central Asia, after Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan, that decided to undergo the change from the Cyrillic alphabet of the Soviet era to the Latin alphabet of the West. Kyrgyzstan is expected to be the next country to move in the same direction. The change of alphabets was met with geopolitically saturated aversion in Russian political circles and media, in contrast to the relatively peaceful manner with which it is being introduced in the countries themselves. Here is an interesting article in this regard published by the Central Asia Caucasus analyst and written by Farhod Tolipov, director of the non-governmental research institute Knowledge Caravan in Tashkent, Uzbekistan. Please stay with us for more of Farhod Tolipov's article. After gaining its independence in 1991, the then newly independent states of Central Asia faced the unprecedented task of creating all attributes of statehood from scratch. Alongside such attributes as a national government, laws, a currency, an army, borders, and many others, all states swiftly ascribed the titular languages of their nation the status of state languages. Kazakh, Kyrgyz, Tajik, Turkmen, Uzbek were proclaimed the state languages in Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan, respectively. They thereby launched the so-called language policies as a natural attribute of their statehood. The next step in this policy was to reform the alphabet. Uzbekistan was the first country to decide to change from the Cyrillic alphabet to the Latin alphabet. In 1993, Uzbekistan adopted the law on the introduction of the Uzbek alphabet based on Latin script. As is common during fundamental reform processes, this change of the alphabet could not take place without corresponding costs, social, economic, and political costs. Anticipating possible difficulties and friction in implementation of the law, Uzbekistan's Supreme Council or Parliament adopted an ordinance stipulating the introduction of the new alphabet on a step-by-step basis, envisioning the completion of the process by 1st of September 2010. In reality, however, the process took much longer. Even today, the Cyrillic script is widely used in public and political life. In the last 25 years of post-Soviet development, the state has not enforced its language and alphabet policy, giving priority to an evolutionary pace. Yet this policy has recently gained new impetus, given that the population has had enough time to understand text written in the Latin script. In April of this year, 25 years after its independence, Kazakh authorities finally announced their intention to shift to the Latin script. Following the Kazakh example, demands for shifting from Cyrillic to Latin alphabet began to be voiced in Kyrgyzstan as well. These recent trends could not but have the effect of a red rag on a bull amongst Russia's media, the Russian elite and social networks, and cause a highly adverse reaction on their part. Many in Russia immediately began to loudly discuss the problem of the rights of ethnic Russians living in the former Soviet republics. For them, the change of alphabet is synonymous with discrimination against the ethnic Russians. Some even associate the question of alphabets with the squeezing of Russia's sphere of influence in the post-Soviet space, thereby adding a geopolitical dimension to these developments. Sooner or later, the issue of changing the alphabet would have been raised amongst and by the public as a logical component of the state language policy, because languages and their alphabets always go hand in hand. Consequently, what is taking place in the language and alphabet policies of the Central Asian countries should not be surprising. However, some political hawks and biased pundits in Russia tend to see anti-Russian plots, or at least irresponsible acts, whatever independent states do independently from Russia. Moreover, such irritation reveals, amongst other things, the persistence of imperialist tradition in the Russian political system and the political process. It has to be mentioned that the introduction of the Cyrillic alphabet was just a link in the chain of events which led to the establishment of a firm Soviet rule in Turkestan, most of modern Central Asia. But this process was never smooth and uncontroversial. In 1929, the official alphabet was changed from Arabic to Latin, which in turn, in 1940, was changed again to the Cyrillic alphabet. In fact, the Cyrillic has been the official alphabet in Central Asia for only about half a century. There are hardly any other people in the world that experience four alphabets within one century. That is, Arabic, Latin, Cyrillic, and then back to Latin. It should also be noted that some republics in the former Soviet Union did not change their alphabets at all. For example, Armenia and Georgia, as well as the Baltic states, that is Latvia, Lithuania and Estonia, never used Cyrillic during and despite the Soviet rule. Interestingly, even the Kazakh Soviet alphabet based on the Cyrillic script included a couple of letters borrowed from the Latin script. The coexistence, indeed, peaceful coexistence of Cyrillic and Latin in the former Soviet Union was a matter of fact. Naturally, the post-Soviet reality would be more plural in this respect. Therefore, the return of the Latin alphabet is nothing but a function of independence. It is an act of national self-determination, which should be dealt with as it is. Meanwhile, although the official alphabet is reversed, the Russian language and Cyrillic alphabet are still revered in the countries concerned. In Uzbekistan, in Kazakhstan and other Central Asian countries, there is no official discrimination against Russians as a purposeful state policy. In many life circumstances, as well as in political life, the Russian language alongside the Cyrillic alphabet is widely utilized. The latter fact has given reason for some pundits, some media and officials in Russia to argue that Central Asians cannot rid themselves of the Cyrillic and that the Latin alphabet is irrelevant. They often point out that the great bulk of historical and other literature and texts over the past century has been published in the Cyrillic alphabet and people will face difficulties reading text in Latin. However, they overlook two simple facts. First of all, the great bulk of literature and published texts and manuscripts are kept in archives and other sources and are in Latin or even in Arabic script, that is, from pre-Cyrillic times. And secondly, the literacy rate in these countries diminishes the problem of reading scripts other than Cyrillic. This point is crucial. Uzbekistan and other Central Asian countries have achieved about 100% literacy rate. This is a good background for adapting to the Latin script without giving up the Cyrillic script. Whatever the pros and the cons of de-Cyrillization and Latinization of the alphabets, this political trend can be regarded as an unavoidable stage in the sequential de-Sovietization process, protracted for 25 years, which should be completed sooner or later. Language and alphabet policies must finally dot the I's and cross the T's. And as long as it is, amongst other things, about the de-Sovietization process, and an act and function of independence, it will, in all likelihood, as one can see, be exposed to geopoliticization of the problem. However, opponents of Latinization, mostly in Russia, make a fuss about this issue and create problems where they do not exist. Indeed, the Latin script per se is neither an alien nor an unfamiliar script to all the former Soviet peoples, who used to study world languages in primary and secondary schools. Therefore, this is not even a generational issue. It is rather an advantage for Central Asians in the 21st century to use both alphabets, Cyrillic as well as Latin, and speak both Russian and Western languages alongside their own native languages. It is obvious that the Cyrillic alphabet and the Russian language will not be forgotten for the same reason as learning English or other Western languages or Chinese are beneficial. By and large, the criticism of the change of alphabets in Central Asian countries is baseless since it contrasts with the social and inter-ethnic peace prevailing in these countries, no matter which alphabet is adopted as the official alphabet of the country. The experience of Uzbekistan is illustrative in this regard. Slowly but steadily, Latin is becoming used everywhere in the country, in textbooks, in schools, names of the streets, screen captions on television, passports, various newspapers in governmental bodies, advertisements, community tags in shops, some journals and many fiction books are all issued in Latin script without causing complaints or resentment on the part of the country's Russian-speaking population. Of course, Latinization is not implemented without corresponding costs and collateral problems related mostly to people's adaptation to a new reality. But these problems cannot serve as the ultimate argument for assertions about irrelevance of the ongoing implementation of language and alphabet policies in the states concerned. It remains of special importance that the opponents of these policies, especially in Russia, will overcome geopolitical suspicions when it comes to the independent choice of Central Asian countries.